Welcome to this lesson on building a low CPU Reese patch in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old school drum and bass vibes. Now, this is one of those sounds that can completely carry a drop. A good Reese gives you movement, tension, grime, and that classic unstable energy without needing a giant synth stack or a load of heavy effects. And that matters, because in DNB the bass has a lot of work to do. It has to lock with the drums, leave room for the kick and snare, and still feel like the identity of the track. So the goal here is not just to make something huge in solo. The goal is to make a bass patch you can actually write with, arrange with, and mix with. First, we're going to keep things organized and CPU friendly by using an instrument rack with two separate chains. One chain will be the sub, and the other will be the Reese layer. That separation is really important. The sub wants to stay clean, stable, and mono. The Reese layer is where we can add movement, grit, and width. Keeping those parts separate makes it much easier to control the sound. And if you want to save CPU later, you can freeze or resample either chain on its own. Let's start with the sub. On the sub chain, load operator and strip it right back. Use a simple sine wave, turn off any extra oscillators, and keep it mono. If you want, set the voice count to 1 so it stays completely focused. This is one of those cases where boring is beautiful. A sub should not be doing too much. It should just anchor the low end and let the rest of the patch feel powerful. For the amp envelope, keep the attack at 0, decay at 0, sustain fully up, and use a short release, somewhere around 80 to 150 milliseconds. That gives you a clean note shape without smearing into the next hit. If the sub needs a touch more weight, you can add saturator after operator with just a little drive and soft clip turned on. Keep it subtle. We want thick, not blurry. Now for the Reese layer. On the Reese chain, you can use waveatable if you want a little more flexibility, or operator if you want to stay very minimal and light on CPU. Either way, the idea is similar. Build a simple saw-based tone, and detune it just enough to create instability. Not huge trance-style detune, just enough movement to make the sound feel alive. If you're using waveatable, start with two saw oscillators. Detune them very slightly, maybe 5 to 15 cents. You can offset the phase a little too, because phase differences can create a really nice swirling attack. Keep unison modest. Two voices is often enough. You do not need a giant stack here. In fact, too much unison can start to eat the punch and make the bass feel soft. If you're using operator, think in terms of a saw-like harmonic structure, keep the polyphony low, and avoid unnecessary complexity. The real win here is simplicity. A Reese is not special because it has 1,000 moving parts. It's special because the moving parts are controlled really well. Now we shape that tone with filtering. Drop an auto filter after the synth. And this is where the Reese starts to feel like a proper DNB instrument. Try a low pass 24 or low pass 12 setting. Start the cutoff somewhere around 150 to 500 Hz, depending on how dark you want the patch. If you want a more aggressive mid-bass character, you can open that up more. If you want a darker old-school jungle vibe, keep it tighter and lower. Add a bit of resonance, but don't overdo it. You want some edge, not an annoying whistle. A little drive can help too. Then, if you want movement, add a subtle LFO amount and sync the rate to something musical, like half notes, quarter notes, or even one bar. The classic move here is not fast wobble. It's long breathing motion. Let the bass open and close across phrases. That kind of movement is much more in the jungle and old school spirit. And here's a really useful teacher tip. In this style, articulation matters just as much as the synth settings. A short note with a long release can blur into the drums. A slightly longer note with a tighter release can feel way punchier. So pay close attention to how the MIDI is phrased, not just how the patch sounds in solo. Next up, we're adding dirt. Put saturator after the filter. Start with just a few dB of drive and keep soft clip on. That gives you harmonic weight and a bit of attitude without needing a heavy distortion chain. If you want more bite, you can place overdrive before saturator, but use it carefully. A little goes a long way. In drum and bass, distortion should sharpen the line, not smear the low end into mud. A good chain here is synth, filter, overdrive, saturator, then utility. If the patch starts to fall apart, pull the drive back before adding more processing. That's a really common mistake. People often think the answer is more distortion, when really the answer is better note shape and cleaner filtering. Now let's deal with stereo width. The sub should stay mono, no debate there. The Reese layer, though, can have a little width if you handle it carefully. Utility is your friend here. You can reduce width rather than maxing it out, or use bass mono if needed. If you want a bit of old school movement, without heavy, CPU use. You can try Chorus Ensemble very lightly, or even AutoPan, with the phase set to 180 degrees and the amount kept very low. That can create a nice slow movement that feels alive without sounding obviously modulated. But here's the key. Always check the sound in mono. If the bass collapses badly in mono, it's not really ready yet. A strong reese should still feel solid when summed down. If it falls apart, simplify the stereo stuff before adding more processing. That's a much better move than trying to fix it later in the mix. Now shape the spectrum. Add EQA to the reese layer. High pass it gently around 70 to 120 Hz, so it stays out of the sub's way. If the sound feels cloudy, cut a little around 200 to 400 Hz. If it gets harsh, tame somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz. And if you want a bit more character, a small boost around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz can help it speak on smaller speakers. The sub chain should stay as clean as possible. Do not overcomplicate it. The whole reason this setup works is that the sub handles the foundation and the reese handles the identity. That separation is what keeps the mix punchy. Now comes the part that makes it feel like actual music. The MIDI. Do not just hold one note forever. Write a bassline with phrasing. Think in terms of two-bar loops. Use short root notes on the downbeat, syncopated hits after the snare, maybe a few little pickup notes before the next accent, and definitely some space. Bass is powerful in drum and bass. Let the break breathe. If you're aiming for a jungle feel, use shorter notes and answer the break with little call and response phrases. If you want more of a roller, hold the notes a little longer and let the filter motion do more of the work. If you're going darker and more half time, keep it sparse and let the sustain and harmonic drift carry the weight. This is also where tuning matters. Don't think only in terms of the root note. Try outlining the key with the minor third, the fifth, or even the flat seven. That can make the bass phrase feel much more musical and much more connected to the mood of the track. Now automate it. Over 8 or 16 bars, move the cutoff, drive, width, or layer volume. A really classic move is to keep the bass dark at the start, then open the filter as the drop develops. You can also increase saturation a little in a later phrase to make the second half of the drop feel more intense, or pull the width back before a breakdown, then widen it again on the return. Those subtle changes keep the loop from feeling static, and if you want to go one step further, resample the bass once you like the sound. That's a very DNB way to work. It saves CPU, it gives you more freedom to chop and edit, and it helps you commit to a sound instead of endlessly tweaking synth settings. Once the bass is printed to audio, you can slice it, reverse a tail, trigger a little fill, or turn one phrase into a transition. That's where a lot of old-school energy comes from. A quick reminder, don't chase huge until the groove works. A bass that locks with the break at low volume is usually way better than a giant sound that muddies the whole drop. In this style, the relationship between the bass and the drums is everything. If the kick is punchy, let the bass start just after it, or shorten the bass notes so they don't fight for space. So to recap the core workflow, build separate sub and reese chains, keep the sub mono and simple, make the reese with light to tune and filtering, add controlled saturation, keep stereo movement subtle and safe, shape the EQ so the drums can punch through, write a rhythmic bass line instead of a static note, automate a few changes across the arrangement, and resample once the patch is working. If you want to practice this properly, make two versions. One should be cleaner, darker, and more restrained. The other should be a bit grittier and more animated. Then compare them in mono, at low volume, with the break playing. You'll usually hear very quickly which one actually supports the groove better. That's the real secret here. The best reese is not always the most massive one. It's the one that feels focused, rhythmic, and mix-aware, while still giving you that classic jungle and old-school DNB attitude. All right, now let's build it up and make it nasty in the right way.